For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Man, Miss Ashley, would you come and just have a seat up here on the front? We'll have you come and give a word of testimony in just a moment. On this special day, of course, Ashley will be leaving out of Cleveland in the morning, headed to South Africa, and we're excited for her. And we'll say more about all of this in just a moment, but let her say more about it. But Massillon Baptist Temple, of course, is her home church now, where she went to Bible college and has served God up there and been on staff there since her graduation. And so we've allowed them to kind of be her sending church, but we really know who her sending church is. I mean, and so she'll be there tonight saying goodbye to her church family there and here this morning. I'd like to take a moment, and I know we've seen her video 1,000 times, but I want to show it one more time. You might be visiting today, or maybe you've not been in a service when we've shared her burden, and just so you can pray for her better and in a fresh way, I wanted to share her video one more time before she left tomorrow, and just then have you come and say a word.
My name is Ashley Taylor, and I have been led by God to take the gospel to the deaf and hearing people of South Africa. I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home where I attended Ripley Baptist Temple in Ripley, West Virginia, under the leadership of Pastor Rick Perrine for the first 18 years of my life, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was 4 years old. I'm also a graduate of Massillon Baptist College, and it was during my second year of college that the Lord confirmed to me that He would have me to work with the deaf. I graduated from MBC in 2019 with the degree Bachelor of Biblical Studies in Missions. During the summer of 2019, God gave me the awesome opportunity to visit South Africa for the first time. While I was there, I stayed with veteran missionaries Chris and Lucinda Radebaugh, who have a deaf church in the Johannesburg area. The Lord used that short trip to open my eyes and to really burden my heart for the great need of the gospel in the country of South Africa. I begged God to send me back right then. However, the Lord did not open the door for me to return at that time. In the fall of 2019, the Lord led me to stay in Massillon, Ohio, and I began serving in Massillon Baptist Temple, Massillon Baptist College, and Massillon Christian School. I decided to just be content with where the Lord had me for as long as He had me there. Then in the fall of 2021, the Lord began to work in my heart again about returning to the country of South Africa as a missionary. After much prayer, personal Bible study, and godly counsel, it became clear that the Lord was leading me to be a missionary to the people of South Africa. I am being sent from Massillon Baptist Temple under the leadership of Pastor Cecil Thayer. I will also be assisted by All Points Baptist Mission. I will be working under and serving with the Mark and Amy Coffee family in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. During the summer of 2022, I had the opportunity to make my survey trip to visit the Coffee family. And it was during this trip that I learned of the various ministry opportunities that the Lord has really opened up for me. There's a Christian school in Port Elizabeth, Bay Baptist Academy, which just started in 2022. I'm looking forward to the opportunity to help in the school. I also plan to start a deaf ministry, and I am praying that the Lord will send a deaf national pastor to start a deaf church in Port Elizabeth. I hope to be able to start a Bible club in the local deaf school, and I plan to work at the camp that the Coffees have started, which is called Camp Rhino. I also have ministry opportunities with the young ladies in the townships. South Africa truly is a beautiful country with much diversity of both scenery and people. There are 11 languages nationally in South Africa, which is part of where it gets its nickname, the Rainbow Nation. In Port Elizabeth, there's three commonly spoken languages, Afrikaans, Xhosa, and English. South Africa is the 9th largest country in Africa with a population of over 53 million people. There is about 1.3 million people in the Port Elizabeth area and is estimated 4 million deaf and hard of hearing people in the country of South Africa. Let me share an alarming fact with you. Only 2% of deaf people in the entire world claim Christianity. Think with me for a moment. Hearing people are confused enough with the different cults and religions of the world, and they can hear what's being taught. Think of how lost, how confused you would be if you could not hear what was being taught. Think how confused you would be if all you knew was what you could see. One thought that the Lord has impressed on my heart is this. Imagine someone that's born deaf, and they die without Christ. The first thing they will ever hear is the voice of God sending them to hell for all of eternity. But on the opposite side of that, if someone learns how to use their hands to tell the deaf about Jesus, the first thing they hear could be the voice of God welcoming them home to heaven. The deaf will never hear the gospel unless someone takes it to them. They will never accidentally tune into a radio station preaching the gospel. They will never overhear Christians talking about the goodness of God. Who will go on purpose to tell the deaf about Jesus? Would you be willing to partner with me as I take the gospel to the deaf, which are one of the most unreached people groups in the world? Would you pray with me for the work in South Africa? Would you be willing to surrender your life to serve in missions? Would you pray about taking the gospel to those who have never heard of Jesus, to those who have never seen Jesus? Would you pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers in his harvest?
That's exciting, is it not? And we're excited for you, Ashley, as you head that way. I know all of your bags are packed. And I know you have a large carry-on. I know you have probably a large backpack. Everything's large. And then all of that. But we thought, well, what, you know, we can't give you flowers or a big gift or anything. So we made you up a... I think Rachel and Cindy put together a goodie bag for the trip, amen, and then we got you a New Testament. I know you have Bibles, but we got you a Soul Winner's New Testament with your name on it, and you can take that and enjoy it on the plane, and after you get there. Why don't you come and give us a word of testimony? Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Rachel. Thank you, Miss Cindy. Cindy, and thank you, church. I actually forgot to pack any snacks, so I'm thinking I got all the essentials, you know, no snacks. That's pretty important for 16 hours on the airplane. But no, Pastor, you said that Matt Slynn, you know, wow, yeah. I say that they're my sending church because they're finally sending me out of Ohio, and this is home. when I'm out traveling to churches and they ask me, well, where's home? I go, well, that's a complicated question. Home is Ripley, West Virginia, but my church is, but no, it's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. I've told myself, I've been lying to myself all week. I said, I'm not going to cry on Sunday. I am not going to cry on Sunday. I am excited and I'm not. And then I see one person, I get a hug and so I am very excited to be leaving tomorrow. In the New Testament, when the ladies go to the tomb and it says that they leave with fear and rejoicing, that's kind of where I'm at today. And a little bit of sadness. I wasn't going to cry. I love y'all so much. And it's always an encouragement to me when I stop and think of Ripley Baptist Temple, because I know you all have helped me financially, but beyond that, which I'm very grateful for, thank you so much for that, but beyond that, I know that you all love me, you care for me, and you pray for me. And that last part is really important. So I will be leaving tomorrow. My flight leaves Cleveland around 4:45, and then I will not land in Port Elizabeth until Wednesday afternoon. So it'd be a long couple of days of travel. And so I'd appreciate prayers for that. And then when I get there, we had a house kind of lined up, a place to rent. And that just, they rented it to somebody else because I'm not there yet. So so I had to find a place to live, a vehicle, all of those normal things that come with moving. And so I appreciate your prayers the next few weeks as I get there and get settled and get busy doing what the Lord has for me to do. I'm excited and nervous. But thank you all so much. I love you, and thank you for everything.
Amen. Amen. We'll have a time of prayer a little bit later at the end of the service today. And if you want to sit with your family, that's fine. We'll have you come back up. God bless you. I mean, if you want to sit on the back row, that's okay. Amen. I'm kidding. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. You know, you never know the influence that you have. I think of all the Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, deacons, youth camps, youth conference, teen conference, Bible schools, family altar, bus routes, Sunday school, all of that, you know, and the influence. And then it just seemed like a few years ago, Ashley took a special interest in ASL Sign Language. And it just seemed like she just mushroomed. I mean, while we were still trying to count our fingers, you know, she was just mushroom and just took off. And I think of her Aunt Pam. Is Pam here today? I think of Aunt Pam who went to Tennessee Temple, majored in sign language, I guess, didn't you, Pam? And no doubt you had great influence there. Probably many times around the dinner table. Well, Aunt Pam, how do you sign this? And you know. And then Rebecca's influence there. And thank God for those that take time and a special interest in us, and then others, I'm sure, that helped her with all of this. And I thought I'd preach this morning on, and of course, a supportive mom and dad. And I think of Grandpa and Grandma Taylor up in heaven and others that are cheering her on. And Acts chapter 10, I want to just bring a brief message today on this subject. What is a missionary? What is a missionary? And in Acts chapter 10, we have a very unusual story about a man named Cornelius in the Scriptures. Let's be introduced to him as we begin in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea, that's along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Cornelius, the Bible says, was a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, that's not a musical group. But he was a Gentile. And he was part of that Roman cohort. He was a Roman soldier, a leader of at least 100 men that were under his tutelage or under his authority. And the Bible says of this man in verse 2, he was a devout man. And it says, and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You know, you look at this man here named Cornelius, a good man. I mean a good man. Devout, a God-fearing man, one that gave to the things of God, one that was seeking God, praying to God always. But may I say this, all of that, and he was still a lost man. And it says in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, about noon, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, God took notice of that. It's not a prayer of salvation, but he was seeking God. And now send men to Joppa. He said, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words of Scripture. And Lord, as we look into this very, very, I think, applicable chapter in the Word of God, as they all are, Lord, very relevant today. Lord, I pray you'd help us just to catch a very simple definition. What is a missionary? And Lord, as we think of the will of God and how the will of God settles everything. And when we find the will of God and we do it, it's the greatest success in our lives. I pray, Lord, that that would be true in Ashley's life. Lord, thank you for how you've led her to this point, this time in her life, and you brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I pray, dear God, that you'd richly bless her and use her. And Lord, bless this message to our hearts. Lord, there, you may be dealing with other people about the things of God and salvation and service and full-time service and all of that. I thank you for our young people that coach, that have found the will of God and are influencing young people every week. I thank you for our young people that are now teaching in classrooms that are influencing young people every week. I thank you for those, dear God, that are going to be dentists and doctors and therapists. Thank you that they found the will of God for their life. And Lord, we realize it's not the will of God for all of us to go to South Africa or a foreign field, but it is the will of God for Ashley. And dear God, I pray for all of these young men and women that God, you'd use them in a great way. May their sphere of influence be blessed and enlarged. And today, I pray that you'd help us to be a missionary every day right here in Jackson County, Roane County, Kanawha County, Wirt County, and Mason County and the surrounding areas, to the uttermost parts of the earth. In Jesus' name, thank you for your call upon this young lady. Amen. Cornelius was an interesting man. As we see him here, I think that God was certainly dealing with him. Now look, I know that the Bible tells us, and I don't think this is a contradiction in the Scriptures, when the Bible says that God doesn't hear the prayer of the lost. He's not obligated to answer the prayer of the lost. We understand that in the Scriptures. But I will say this, when you find a sinner that's seeking God, and I remember praying a prayer many years ago as a young teenager, and I said this, I said, Lord, if you're really real, if you're really there, would you make yourself real to me? Well, don't you think that God heard that prayer? And don't you think that God didn't take notice of that and said, hey, I'll send somebody. Who will go? You know, who will go? And may I say, sharing the gospel with someone on your ball team is just as important as sharing the gospel with those in Africa. You know, God looks at this world as one big mission field. It's not missions, plural. It's mission, singular. We have a great mission to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here was a devout man, an honorable man, no doubt a disciplined man. He was a soldier, and here was a man that had leadership skills. He was leading a group of at least 100 Roman soldiers. And here he is seeking God. I want you to notice, first of all, in this chapter, we find a seeking sinner. It may be that you're here this morning for the first time, or you're watching by way of internet, and it may be you say, preacher, I'd put myself in that category. I'm a seeking sinner. Well, you've come to a good place. I mean, we welcome seeking sinners because you know what? We were all right there one day seeking the truth of the things of God. And here's this man who had a great command of men. Here's a man that had great respect. Here's a man that had climbed up through the ranks of the military, and you don't just do, I mean, even in the Roman government, you just don't do that without some skill, without some character about you. But here's the thing, the great missing link in Cornelius' life was Jesus Christ. He did not know the Lord, but he realized his need and he was seeking him. We find here a seeking sinner. And God says, well, I'm going to send an angel down there and tell him what to do. And so he gathers up three men. One of them was a soldier. He sends them to Joppa where Simon Peter is and goes to get him. And while Peter is there, he's staying with one Simon, a tanner. Now, God is loosening Peter up here. God's loosening Peter up. Many have called this the Gentile Pentecost, Acts chapter 10. And it really was. I mean, other Gentiles had been saved, but here God officially welcomes the Gentiles into the church, and uncircumcised Gentiles, the Jews, you know, they were very, very tight on all of that. And here he welcomes them and baptizes them, and they join the church. And Simon Peter, man, he has come under the gun immediately by all the Jewish believers saying, I can't believe you're down there baptizing these Gentile dogs, which is me and you. And we see a seeking sinner, but I want you to notice, secondly, there's a strange scene. And while God's moving here, God's moving in Peter's heart. By the way, he's loosening him up. You know where he's staying? He's staying with a tanner. Here's a man that's working with dead animals. He's tanning hides and skins. You talk about something frowned upon by the Jewish believers and the church. They frowned upon that. They thought, if they'd have known Peter was staying with Simon the tanner, you know, stinky, bloody hides and stuff, and that's where he was. You know, God, you can't just pour God into a mold here. And so while all of this is going on, I want to give you an original quote here. Someone who was yearning and someone who was yielded. God connected them. Here's a seeking sinner, someone that was yearning. And God connects him with someone who's yielded. And isn't that really what missions is all about? Isn't that what soul winning is all about? Isn't that what the Great Commission is all about? I mean, a seeker finds the Savior because someone who's yearning finds someone who's yielded and is available to allow God to use them to reach someone with the gospel. That's what Ashley will do in South Africa. But we see a strange scene here. On the morrow, in the meantime, I guess what you say is in verse 9, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. You know, God calls busy people. God calls people that are not necessarily, he enables the called. He doesn't call the enabled. And Simon Peter's just going up on the housetop to pray about noon. And as he goes up there to pray, that's what he did every day. It wasn't anything new. And as he was serving God, here's a seeking sinner sending people out to find him. They said, go and find Peter. His name is Peter. He'll be staying in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. And when you go see him, he'll tell you what you ought to do. What if God has that much confidence in us? What if God could bring a seeking sinner under our nose and say, I know they'll tell him. Wonder how many times we've missed the boat on that. I hope not too many. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. He said in verse 6, he lodges with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, they set out on their, and so Peter, the next day, he went up there on the roof, just like he always did, to pray. And while he's praying, it's a strange scenario there. He receives a vision, a dream from God. It's an unusual dream. He sees this big sheet or canvas dropping down from God out of heaven. And the Bible says it's bound up on the four corners. In other words, the corners are pulled up so nothing falls out. And in that sheet, in this vision, Peter sees all these different kinds of animals. Animals with cloven hoof, animals that were, he calls creeping things. He says in verse 11, he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending and a great sheet knit at the four corners. And he said, in that sheet were four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. Peter sees that. Peter is about as resolute of a Jew and the dietary restrictions of the Mosaic law as anybody. And he sees that, and man, he's turned off by that. And in the vision, God says, Peter, arise and eat, kill and eat. Peter said, oh, not so, Lord. No, I've never eaten anything like that. I've never let anything like that come into my body. Even though he was born again and saved, he still had all of that Mosaic, the trappings of the law and everything. He said, not so, Lord. No, I won't do it. And notice what he says here. Verse 13, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And I believe Peter there. I think he'd done it the very best he could. And he sees this vision, this sheet drops down three times. What did God say? He says, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. I read a quote, and it goes like this, if he is Lord, one cannot say not so. And if one says not so, he cannot be Lord. Peter said, not so, Lord, no. And God said, look, what I've called clean, don't you call unclean. You know what God was saying? God was saying, look, I'm about to do a big thing here. In Acts chapter 10, you're going to the house of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, an uncircumcised Gentile. And you're going to go and tell him about Jesus, and he's going to get saved, and you're going to baptize him. And I'll tell you what, it's going to cause quite a stir. God said, what I've called you to do, don't you say no, 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 not so, no. What I've called clean, don't you call unclean. So we see a strange scene, a seeking Savior, but thank God we see a surrendered saint. A surrendered saint. The Bible said in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He's thinking about this dream he's had, and while he's thinking about that dream, doesn't say a knock on the door, but I guess the culture there, they shout, hey, anybody home? It's those three men that came from Caesarea. And the Spirit said, go join yourself with them. Don't doubt. This is what the vision's all about. And so he goes. It says in verse 21, he went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What's the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, verse 22, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. What is a missionary but that? Warned from God, send, hear. Then called he them in and lodged them. And the next day, it says in verse 24, the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them. What is a missionary? I think we're beginning to see very simply what a missionary is. We see a surrendered saint. We see a seeking sinner. We see a strange scene there. Different scene. God was doing God was doing something great. He's still doing something great. But here in the midst of it all, people were waiting. People were waiting. I have a missionary letter here today from Charles Keene, Dr. Keene. I want to read it to you. It caused me to cry, and I shared it with Rachel. She said it caused her to cry. She shared it with me, and we'll all cry together when I read it. Dr. Keene is the founder of Bearing Precious Seed, First Bible International, School of the Scriptures. God has used him in such a way, I'm sure one day his name will be remembered like William Carey, Hudson Taylor, others. He said, dear pastor and church, we do support Brother Keene. He said, I want to bring you up to date about my status. The bad news is I haven't preached for 15 months because of health issues. I've spent hours on the phone working on Bible projects and started a new division of our ministry. 84 years old. Started a new division called the Whole Bible Project to print 1 million whole Bibles in languages that do not have all 66 books. The good news is I will start April 7th with a limited schedule. I trust you'll pray that God will give me the physical strength and the spiritual stamina. I know He can. I know that He can get by without me. But I do not think He wants to just yet. And this is what made me cry. Dr. Keene said, I've lost all my youth, but not my zeal. I'm 84 years old. I don't drive anymore. I'm still under the doctor's care. He's not looking for a pity party. This is just the way Dr. Keene is. He said, I still have the call of God upon my life to preach the gospel to regions beyond through both the pulpit and the printed press. I've lost my youth, but not my zeal. We appreciate your faithfulness during this bump in the road or this mountain in my life. I'm trying to be worthy of your support. I've not been on the field, but I've been on the phone trying to use email to stay in contact with my churches. I've enjoyed a degree of success despite my physical problems. Please pray for our family. A few weeks ago, we were notified that Mary's sister, Janice, died. And today, I was notified my sister, Beverly, died. I want you to hear this next sentence. Thank God for Jesus. They both knew the Lord, had good testimonies. I'm glad they weren't waiting for the gospel to get to them. Usually, Dr. Keene will sign off by saying, thank you for being such a good friend to a good friend of mine, Dr. Charles Keene. I've lost all my youth, but not my zeal. I'm glad that my sister and sister-in-law weren't waiting for the gospel to get to them. Today, as we think about Ashley Taylor, I think of youth. I think of Dr. Keene. I think of a seasoned, battle-scarred veteran that's still going. And I think all of us can probably, I think the wonderful thing is we can join hands with both and still continue to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad God's still calling men to preach. I'm glad God's still calling young ladies to go to the field. It's an amazing thing how quickly Ashley was able to raise her support as a single young missionary, female, because many times pastors don't take young single ladies very seriously. That's a sad thing. But Cornelius waited for them. There's some young African girls in orphanages that are waiting for Ashley to come. There are people in all of those shack towns that are waiting for Ashley to come. They're waiting. There are people in Ripley, West Virginia. Brother Matt Johnson said to me yesterday, he said, you think everybody in this county is saved, but boy, you go out door knocking, you find out that's not true. They're waiting. Your neighbor's waiting. Your family is waiting. They're waiting on the field somewhere, and Cornelius waited for them, and not only that, he'd called friends, his kinsmen and near friends. He called them together. Look in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius knelt down and bowed down before him. And Peter said, oh, no, you get up. I'm not the one to worship. Cornelius, the Bible says in verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Notice the surrendered saint. He found many that were gathered together. Cornelius was anxiously waiting. He's sitting there. He's got soldiers around him. He's got family around him. He's got friends around him. He's got people all around him there, and they're waiting, and they can't wait. I mean, he's so excited that when Peter comes in, he bows down to Peter, and Peter said, oh, no, no, no. I've got a greater one that I'm going to point you to in a moment. And he said unto them, verse 28, you know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, without objection. As I was sent for, I ask therefore what intent you have sent for me. In verse 31, he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. He recalls all that happened there, Cornelius tells him. In verse 32, he tells him, he said, I heard about you. And he said that you're lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee immediately. Therefore I sent to thee, verse 33, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Look in verse 24. Cornelius waited for them. Look in verse 32. Who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Look in verse 33. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear. Notice waiting. Notice speaking. Notice hearing. That's missions. In verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and he got right to work. I mean, in 40 words, he was already speaking to him about Jesus. He didn't try to lay a great... Listen, he knew... You talk about a fish. Listen, you talk about a fish that was ready to bite. And Peter had the gospel bait. Listen, 40 words, and he says, hey, it's Jesus. Trust him, you'll go to heaven. Notice, he says, God's no respecter of persons. Verse 35, but in every nation he that feareth him worketh righteous is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, Galilee, after the baptism of John. And notice here, verse 36, the word which God sent, verse 37, that word was published throughout. That's missions. The word which God sent, that word was published throughout. You've got one waiting, you've got one willing, you've got one speaking, obeying, you've got one hearing, and you've got a whole house full of people accepting. He gets right to the point, and I'll close, but notice he said in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus. We see a seeking sinner, a strange scene. We see a surrendered saint. But there's a supernatural Savior that rises above all of it. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, verse 38, who went about doing good and healing all that were. And he said in verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things. That's what a missionary is. Which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Peter said, I was there. I want you to know he's alive. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, to testify, that is, he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Verse 43, I can see Cornelius, he's scooting up on the edge of the, hey, he's getting up on the edge, hey, he's moving up on the edge of the couch. I mean, he's getting excited. He says, I think I understand now. Amen. He got saved. But that's not the end of it. The Bible says that when he gave the message, the Holy Spirit of God fell on them, as he said, as on us at the beginning. And the whole bunch of them got saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God allowed some of them to speak in languages that were not their own as a sign, not for them, wasn't for their benefit, it was for those Pharisaical Jews that were standing around there watching the whole thing. And he commanded them to be baptized, verse 48, in the name of the Lord. By the way, they received the Holy Spirit before they got baptized. They received the Holy Spirit before any of them spoke in a language that wasn't their language. A strange scene, a seeking sinner, but a supernatural Savior was presented. That's what missions is. That's what missions is. Over in chapter 11, verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? That's the definition of a missionary. They'll tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. They waited. Peter came. Peter spoke. They heard the message, that old message of salvation through Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon them. It says in verse 44, when Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on us, on all them which heard the word. God's looking. Listen, they're waiting. They're waiting in Africa today. The coffees are waiting. Others are waiting. Kids are waiting. Girls and boys are waiting to hear the gospel. People are waiting here in West Virginia to hear the gospel in Ohio. The counties surrounding here. I've lost all my youth, but not my zeal. Please pray for our family. Pray that I'd be worthy of your support. 84. Who'll take Dr. Keene's place? Here's one that we'll have a commissioning service for today. What about you?